All right, make sure you're in fellowship, as here we are dealing with the concept of divine love, taken from the family words of agape, agapeo in the Greek, recognizing that this love is associated and is an attribute of God to begin with, and that is, it is governed by God's moral integrity of righteousness and justice, as well as associated with his veracity, the truth of God's plan. And it's represented in the Hebrew most closely by the Hebrew word chesed. That's what we're looking at, Roman numeral 3, subpoint 5, page 4 of our notes here. That it's an extension of God's righteousness and justice. These attributes are shown to be together. In Jeremiah there, point C, is love reveals his mercy. It's immutable, unchanging, consistent, Micah. And then subpoint D here, where we pick up, his love is not apart from Bible doctrine, but goes hand in hand with it. So it doesn't compromise or avoid Bible doctrine in its expression. That's Psalm 85:10. I have written out here for us our chesed, loving kindness, translated New American Standard, faithful or merciful love, and truth have met together. That is obviously the reality of that's in the person of Jesus Christ. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The affectionate bond of righteousness and reconciliation. Parentheses, because Christ fulfilled the law, qualifying him as sin bearer. Reconciliation has been achieved. So love, truth of Bible doctrine, through the evangelism process, God's righteousness, and the reconciliation factor needed to remove our barrier, sin barrier, otherwise are close together in terms of being possible through the love of God. E, continuing on here, divine love promotes justice, either good or bad. Psalm 62:12. God's love, as is expresses towards positive volition, application of doctrine, hence in a good sense, the benefit of love, if you will, and loving kindness, chesed, is yours, O Lord, for you do recompense a man according to his work. What we do, whether it's divine good or human good or evil otherwise, has a direct effect in regards to the benefit of love otherwise. Exodus 34:7. Moses at Sinai. Here's the background setting. Yahweh appears before Moses. Verse 6, and the Lord passed by in front of him. Moses claimed Yahweh the Lord, the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim. Compassionate and gracious, other virtues associated with God, slow to anger, that is grace before judgment, and abounding in loyal love, chesed, and in truth. Who keeps chesed, verse 7, Lord, love, loving kindness, for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, as righteousness demands justice against that which is adverse to God, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. That reflects upon the normal process of the volition expressing itself. You find negative volition feeds negative volition and supports it and embraces it. And parents, etc., generations that reject the truth will bring up children that fall in line with their own maladjustment of God. And it goes on down the line for those that break from that. They are the exception to the rule. And what we see today in our own society, it much is this whole process of God bringing justice upon generations based on the departure a lot in our society, in the world, from the period of Philadelphia in adjustment to God in that time frame of the church, going into the Laodicean period, and watering down Bible doctrine, trying to embrace the cosmos as well as embrace God. You can't do that, and God accepts that. He's against that. Numbers 14:18. So, while he loves the world, you want to reject his love, you despise his love, dismiss his love, well, then you will face his justice in that vein, as it is in a parental setting. A parent loves your child, you disobey the parent, well, then the child should expect a corporal punishment in return in regards to it. Numbers 14:18. Lord is slow to anger and abundant in chesed, loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty. Want to maintain disobedience, antinomian attitude in regards to God and his plan and life in general. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations. Christian by association also enters into that formula. So, as parents, the only thing you can do truly in regards to your children is bring them up right under doctrine. And obviously they're going to make their own path on their own esteem and volition when they reach of age. But to do it right, there's another promise that the parent won't be disappointed. At least the child will grow up to be a decent human being. And while it doesn't necessarily mean they'll be positive, phase two, or whatever in that vein, their approach to life will be such that they will not bring the wrath of God down on them experientially in regards to their life. So you have these principles that are involved. People that reject this doctrine don't support their children otherwise. Then all they're doing is promoting negative volition on their children's part. The last thing you ever want to do is to try to inhibit positive volition on your children's part, even if you're a negative parent. But anyway. F, it is the volition of the individual that renders divine love as a love of substance and real, or makes it empty, that is vacant of reality. It's based on one's will, one's determination. And whether you're a seeker and you are aligning up with God and his plan or not, we would say positive versus negative. Deuteronomy 5:10. warning by God in regards to the commandments given to them. Again, scenario with Moses, etc. You will not worship them in terms of idols, etc. Verse 9, or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, fourth and third and fourth generations of those who hate me. So there, again, is the bad sense of cursing brought upon those who want to induct their children into religiosity and the falsehood of the world otherwise in that regards. But showing loving kindness, in contrast, verse 10, to thousands, to those who love me and keep my word, keep my commandments. So that recognizes negative volition versus positive volition in regards to God's reaction to them, if you will, in terms of blessing and cursing in life. Psalm 25, 10. All the paths of Yahweh, the Lord, are loving kindness and truth. That's the roads He sets out for us to follow, to tread upon, to those who keep His covenant and His testimonies. They're the Mosaic promises and laws in that vein in terms of Israel, etc. And His witness, His testimonies in terms of the truth of doctrine otherwise. Psalm 86, 5. There, this phrase, to all call upon you, emphasizes the positive volition. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. And abundant in loving kindness, here's the caveat, to all who will call upon you, i.e., beginning with salvation, and then secondarily in regards to rebound. God doesn't give you a free blanket experientially forgiving you for everything in your life apart from rebound. You're held in contempt when you're out of fellowship. See. Gee, there is absence of divine love in the life of the unrighteous, but it comes in spades to the righteous. Still in Psalms here, Psalm 32:10. Many are the sorrows or pains of the wicked. The tests in areas that when things happen, there's no true source of real comfort and resolution often, probably most often, in regards to things that happen that are not pleasant or what one wants in life, and the pains that come emotionally, physically, and otherwise, even mentally, mental pain, because one is under their sin nature and they bring about self-induced misery in their lives, things of this nature. So many are the pains of the wicked, that's negative volition, running under their sin nature. But he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness will surround him. His loyal love, obviously, this does not mean that the believer is going to be left out in regards to tests in life and suffering. We all still endure, have to endure deserved suffering versus undeserved suffering, etc. But overall, God's interaction with us and how He will continue to grease our skids in our spiritual advance and seeking to apply divine good production and bringing about good things in our life. And again, quit thinking good things in terms of always physical accurateness of life in that regard. It comes in so many different ways. The very sense of acclimation to one's niche and to be adjusted in that respect. If you're adjusted, if you're enjoying it, you've got the capacity to enjoy everything that's going on. What else do you need? I mean, really. Want to have yourself a $100 million yacht? Go out there in the Caribbean and get mistaken for pushing drugs and get your boat shot out from underneath you or something, man. You never know. You know, run into a hurricane, live on an island with Gilligan for several years. You never know. See, all these things. Yeah, I know. Well, we could endure it, but still, you get the point. Six, our term agapao, it's also used in a bad context where it embraces the idea of commitment, allegiance, loyalty to an object in terms of one having the wrong virtues and assets applying towards the object. John 3:19, those who love the darkness rather than the light. We've read that verse recently. In other words, one who possesses negative volition rejects the truth of Bible doctrine. Their virtues, their assets, attributes reflects negative volition in the STA. 1 John 2:15, another verse that uses it in a similar way. There of loving the world, pursuing the world under a human viewpoint, under negative volition, the STA, stop loving the world, nor the things in the world. The world there is the world at large under negative volition with their agendas and their fleshly desires of achievements and accomplishments in life. The things in the world are the details. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't be operating under the attributes of negative volition and being out of fellowship, etc., as the world, simulating the world in regards to our counterpart unbelieving world in that regards. You got to be in fellowship. Otherwise, the divine love is not truly manifested and reflected in regards to your life. It's not part of your life. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, those things that physically simulates the STA, the lust of the eyes, one's focus in life. And again, this is not denying the professions and things of life that are legitimate, etc. But putting these things in and turning them into your idols and those things that otherwise take precedence of, in regards to your own spiritual momentum and well-being. And the boastful pride of life, that's your accomplishments, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. Get your doctorate degree. You got to have that, and that's what drives you in regards to your academic drive in terms to possessing that. That's not from the Father. That's from the world. We see what's from the Father, and that's the truth of Bible doctrine. We know what the boast is, see, rather than boasting in these things. Seven, it is of interest to note that the writers of the Septuagint, that's the Greek translation of the Hebrew text, render God's love for righteousness as justice as agapao. They understood it. Through His faithfulness, as the entirety of His plan fills the earth. Example here, Psalm 33, verse 5. He loves, God loves agapao, righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the faithful love of the Lord. And in verse 4. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. 8, divine love also requires a sacrifice in its application. Again, John 3:16, an obvious reference to that. 9, believers are commanded to have this love. 10, for believers to have this love, they must fall under the same parameters of restrictions and sacrifice as God's love, while maintaining total integrity to the truth, as was brought out in regards to the Lord's Prayer of John 17. In the Gospel, verse 23, I am them, you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you did send me and did love them even as you did love me. Then verse 26, and I have made your name known to them, will make it known that the love wherewith you did love me may be in them and I in them. And obviously that encompasses God the Holy Spirit with the truth of Bible doctrine. Leaven, this love by believers originates in the soul under the filling of God the Holy Spirit and is demonstrated by the willingness to make whatever application is necessary within the parameters of Bible doctrine. In other words, it is through the virtue of the new man that the divine love is able to be expressed and reside in regard to the believer. And that comes through positive volition of putting on the new man, taking off the old man as necessary as believers. 12, because emotions are neutral in the application of this love and the worthiness or merit of the individual to which it's expressed is a non-issue. It is possible for us to have then agape type love even for our enemies, as Jesus taught in Luke 6:27-35. To love your enemies. But I say to you here, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. In other words, get in fellowship, apply Bible doctrine to the situation, whatever you do, don't try to take revenge into your own hands. See. 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. When you lend, and those who may not pay you back, etc., you don't go chasing after them, etc., in that vein. Basically, when you give, you should give with strings, no strings attached. If you're going to loan somebody some money to help them out, even though we're not talking about a contractual obligation in this regard, we're talking about with one another, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great if you can forego that and not have to have your phase 2 recompense returned to you. Phase 3 will more than make up for it. And you will be sons of the Most High, for Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men, as He gave His life even for the majority of unbelievers in this world. In history. 13, because divine love originates from the Holy Spirit, it is impossible for unbelievers to possess it. It is also impossible for the believer to express it who is out of fellowship and therefore not therefore ruled by God and Bible doctrine. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, love, divine love, is part of that application in regards to the individual priest. So D, to finish this section then, agapao focuses primarily on the spiritual welfare and interests of the object, while phileo focuses on the gravitational affection generated by the object, to put them in their proper perspectives. All right, we reserve today for observance of the Lord's table, so we'll let everybody get in place.